That's why we have 50 CEOs and founders in our fund, that their goal is to mentor and support and obviously invest in operators and great technology. We built this ecosystem and an emerging fund to really provide value to these entrepreneurs that need the help in the early stages.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we dive into the world of entertainment as we sit down with the founding managing partner of Emerging. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be on with you.
Awesome. So why don't we start with a description of what Emerging is before we dive into the story and the areas you're exploring?
Yeah, absolutely. So Emerging, we're investing in two things, tech and hospitality, and then tech-enabled concepts. Two areas that we've been working on for decades, and we're just fortunate enough to launch a fund in the last year. So we've got, in the fund, we have 50 CEOs and founders that are just leading guys in hospitality, and they're joined us as investors and a handful as advisors, and we're supporting these early entrepreneurs that are driving technology in this experiential economy.
You've had this amazing background in the world of entertainment and experiential. What of that background led you to say, you know what, I want to go in and do an investment fund around this space?
It goes back to my roots in Cincinnati, funny enough, as an engineer, civil engineer. I came out and I started working for a developer of Easton Town Center, Steiner & Associates. I fell in love working with these quirky restaurant operators and entertainment guys. I couldn't get over, deep dive into how they picked real estate was basically a thumb in the air and their gut instinct. Being the data guy engineer, I was like, where's the data? And it just was no data. I was able to bring that exposure of like real sounded data strategy to the most entrepreneurial people in the planet, these restaurant operators I found, and just loved working with them. Ultimately built relationships across the country with these top operators that were early stage builders of awesome brands like Bravo Brio and Cheesecake Factory and Cameron Mitchell and Columbus, just great operators. And then end up going to New York and helping put together deals around the country, bringing these innovative groups together with landlords that wanted differentiation in their projects and billion-dollar projects. Ultimately started a supply chain company with my partner and the GP partner in the fund, John Davey, in 2008, a company called Consolidated Concepts, which is now part of Buyer's Edge Platform. Buyer's Edge Platform is, we're working with one out of three restaurants in the US. Every day we get a data feed and what they're buying, line item level, and we've got 125 engineers cleaning that data every day and providing data intelligence to these operators, help to reduce their distribution costs and insights to their business and technology, and whatever we can do to help them. And fortunately, that business gives us a lot of insights where the industry's going and trends. And then ultimately led John and I to say, let's launch a fund because we're really good at two things, growing technology because we know where the holes are, the gaps are in the market, given that we have a pulse in the market in the U.S., probably better than anybody. We find the amount of data that we're sitting on every day and seeing those ideal customers that are looking for solutions, and then helping grow exciting brands like Putt Shack from the founders of Topgolf and Formula One and new concept F1 Arcade. So we focus in on pretty much what the market wants today and try to be closest to the ground as we can be.
Related to that, the restaurant industry is a massive industry. And it used to be, I'd call it relatively straightforward, make great food, everything else that goes into it. Now you have all these blendings of the rise of technology with it. You have entertainment, you have sportstainment. How do you see this kind of industry evolving, and what are you looking for in the differentiation of these opportunities?
They're definitely, it's crazy. The industry is exploding. It's about an $8 billion industry on digitalization of the hospitality space to about a $30 billion by 2030. And so it's exploding. So where's it going? It's a good question. We'll see where it ends up, but we know labor is the biggest headache these restaurant operators are dealing with. I think you're going to end up with so much more automation than you see today. Restaurant operators are getting squeezed in every state as laws and labor minimum wages increases. So I expect much more automation, and AI is leading to that being more friendly. And Elon Musk is obviously doing a lot there with the bots, and we expect it to hit the restaurant space in the next 3 years. And then ultimately, just those little technology gaps between with efficiencies of making orders and delivery. And we just did a hackathon. We had 80 developers under Buyer's Edge. We flew them in, that they're on our payroll between contractors or employees. And we did a hackathon and was working on Google Glasses, integrating solutions. Somebody's hands-free walking through their kitchen can make an order, get an order guide automatically loaded up based on inventory levels and get that submitted without getting on a computer. So we're working on a lot of new innovation, and where it goes, who knows? But I can say we're pressing hard because there's a big demand in the food and beverage space, and there's never been a more disruptive period ever.
When you think about this kind of disruptive period, as you mentioned, what's your formula for identifying and cultivating these winning concepts?
Yep. Good question. We get asked that. What's the magic formula? And I think over a couple of decades of working with brands that have the DNA for growth, we've seen consistency among some factors. And one, I would say, is there a proprietary moat? Is there something that's preventing somebody copying the concept easily? Because when you have success, there's a lot of people that come in this space and right behind you that try to duplicate. How many hot chicken concepts are there now? Quite a few, right? So I think what we focus on are more tech-enabled concepts that have some proprietary nature to them. If you look at Flight Club with darts, if you look at Putt Shack with the ball, that's a ball that at one point was approaching $100. Now it's much cheaper because we've been able to innovate. But ultimately, the GPS and Bluetooth technology with 15-year patents on that ball. And then in the technology of BatBox, we just invested in with a company that is using South Korean technology. It's a multi-billion dollar company. And we've had it already to protect those patents in the U.S. So they're what we're investing in. We love the gamification, the proprietary nature of it. Another thing that we like to see is there a premium for the offering? Is there something that people are willing to pay above the market price because of the experience related to it? And that really differentiates it. Also, food and beverage execution. Is the operators able to deliver elevated food and beverage? People want to be entertained today, yes, but they also want it. They don't want to go before and after another dining experience. They don't have to. You don't want them to get a veto vote from your significant other or your corporate business because they don't serve good food. So these concepts we're investing in have great food and elevated drinks usually. And that makes it really attractive because the margins are great. But the gaming revenue drives much more profitability because there's really no cost of goods associated with it. There's a third factor I would say too, Dave, is we look for frequency and reach. But frequency is, what's the return of that customer? There's a lot of entertainment concepts out there that you may go to once a year, but are you going, will you go three times a year? Will you go twice a year? And you know, we're not asking them to be McDonald's, which the average guest goes like 50 times a year, or the top 7% do. We're looking for concepts that we're delivering 1.5 times or near it. And that all leads to just better ticket average, higher frequency, and a concept that you can expand in white space across the country, and knowing that you got a brand you can build without being built on right top of by a competitor or somebody.
You've talked a lot about the concepts and the uniqueness of the concept. When you look at the restaurant industry, historically it used to be founded, there was a lot of chefs and others that were opening the restaurant. How do the profile of the founders themselves change in this world where it's entertainment and technology and great food and beverage, et cetera?
I don't think the founders change so much as they're running a much more complicated business than they did the decade ago or two decades ago. So today, as a CEO, you know, you would find guys that are 1 to 6 units. They may be really entrepreneurial, great idea guys, but not so good managers. You just don't have that benefit anymore because unit number one and unit number two can break you if you're not a good manager or you didn't put the right team in place. So it's really important. Emerging plays such a good role for these early concepts of helping, making sure they do have the right team. That's why we have 50 CEOs and founders in our fund that are their goal is to mentor and support and obviously invest in operators and in great technology. We built this ecosystem and an emerging fund to really provide value to these entrepreneurs that need the help in the early stages. It's not easy to build a sustainable brand today and get that brand equity up to a point that developers and landlords will write a check to offset the capital risk, nice tenant allowance packages, and deliver something unique to the market at the same time.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
Talk a little bit more about that network that you mentioned. You and your partner are rolling up your sleeves, working with them, but you also have this network of 50 industry CEOs, restaurant group leaders. How's that network get involved with the founders that you invest in?
Yeah, good question. So we have a monthly meeting, second Thursday of every month, that we go through the investments with a team of advisors. That is a good group made up of all the CEOs and founders and some of the other big contributors to the fund that have expertise in the industry. So it starts there. If it leads to an investment, we're doing diligence through a playbook we create. And that playbook leads to an execution. It could be a 1 to 3 year plan, depending on what stage they're in. We are helping them drive that growth. If it's a concept, we're building their pipeline of deals. We're doing data. Our real estate team, Emerging Concepts, which is the associated company that I founded in 2012, is finding out what sites to be prioritized in the US. So we really have a roadmap. Before we put our dollars at risk in emerging the fund, we are seeing the roadmap. We're seeing the go-to-market for the concept and getting comfortable with the leadership, the strategy and real estate, and just how the market's responding. We do the exact same thing on the technology side. We're figuring out the ideal customer profile for the technology. In Buyer's Edge, we have over 1,000 chains that we have a financial relationship with, not just a, hey, you're a client, like a real relationship. We try to introduce the ideal customer profiles to the technology and see, they do a pilot. Do they really like it? What kind of feedback before we put our money at risk? So we're really focused on, we call ourselves early stage growth capital. And our edge comes from helping them go to market and that playbook in those early days that we're helping them build and hopefully speed up their ability to drive revenue.
On that note of go to market and driving revenue, you mentioned earlier that a lot of the concepts you invest in, you're not necessarily trying to get somebody go once a week. It's a several times a year. How's the marketing change when you're looking at that kind of frequency of visits versus maybe the every week behavior?
Yeah, I think the concepts that we traditionally or we are investing in, they're more experiential, right? They're traditionally much higher checks. Like I think McDonald's average check might be 5 versus our concepts are 4 or 5 times that. You're spending $25 to $35 a head per person is very common. And your length of engagement is 1.5 hours, sometimes even more. These are more occasional visits, but they're planned nights out. They're super for birthdays and private special events, special evening outs and date nights. But corporate business is a big driver as well. We see 15 to 50% of the revenues, some concepts are generated from corporate business. So these concepts are hitting on many different day parts, from days and parties and birthdays to happy hours to dinner to late night parties. We love them. They're not just the lunch and dinner. They're able to drive revenue throughout the day, great margins. You need a great CMO. You need an awesome marketing person to be able to know how to manage that. It's not simple. It's not a simple one customer. It's customers coming from all different types of customers, and you need to know how much you dial in, how much you spend on that customer to try to attract that customer. You just can't open your doors and be successful today. So you definitely, you need to have a strong marketing or CMO, extremely important.
So when does a founder know that you're the right partner for you? When are they going to reach out and say, I need emerging on my team?
I don't know if a lot of the people that have reached out to us in our investments have heard it's been word of mouth. We've been fortunate enough, our operating companies drive the funnel for us because they're working with us. And these companies that we invest in are usually well oversubscribed. They actually don't need our money. They have access to capital because they're people, these concepts are really profitable, and they're usually, we're coming in and they're peeling back other investors or trying to prioritize our position early because they see the strategic nature of our relationship. In fact, we're in boards of 9 out of 14 investments. And it's not because we're the largest investor or second largest. Sometimes we're not even the third largest investor. And we're minority investors. We have 5% to maybe 25% investment stakes in these companies. But we're getting in a board position because we're involved with their strategic growth. But our, in top of our operating companies, working with them at a very high frequency, they want emerging as a fund to help, you know, navigate these potholes and leverage our resources that we've been fortunate enough to bring a bunch of people in together to help them.
I think that's a great kind of place to end the conversation on. So really appreciate you taking time to sit down and share more about the journey that you're going on with emerging.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.